Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting from sunny Florida. And we too have the coronavirus pandemic here in the state, and it's also become one of the hot spots, but so far in our county, they're just reporting that there's 8 cases, but who knows? Really, you just don't know. But we're trusting God. What can we do in the days that we're living in? Really, what can we do except trust God? Because even if you're saved, you're a Christian, we're still going through this thing. So it doesn't exempt us from the tribulations of the world. As we can see, as God is giving us this time to get our lives in order and to think about what's really important in life, as life has changed for all of us in a very short period of time. And as you look, especially spend some time in the days ahead in the book of Revelation, because we're living in those days. We're living in those days, and it's hard to believe, isn't it? Because here we have life the way we've known it. We were going about our lives every day and enjoying the things that the Lord has given us. And then in just a few short days, things have changed, where you see the whole world just about is shutting down. And the things that people trusted in before, they can't trust in anymore. Those days are over. So who are we going to trust in, except that we have to put our faith and trust in God? Because we can't put our faith and trust in the boss, or like the pimp preachers, they want to put their faith and trust in the tithe money, and they're having nervous breakdowns because they can't collect their tithes and offerings, and they're depending on you to help them through this crisis. Well, why don't they practice what they preach? They preach that you're supposed to trust God. You're supposed to trust God. But when it comes to them trusting God, no, they're not trusting God. They're trusting you to help them through this time of crisis. They want to tell you. They want to tell you to bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse so that there'll be meat in my house. Well, where's the meat? Where's the storehouse? You don't have a storehouse. Most of you people don't have a storehouse because you're too busy spending the money on your own lusts. And then when there's a crisis and people need you to help them, you can't help them because you can't even help yourself. These preachers, it's despicable. They're out there begging, begging, begging. Like, they can't go on unless they get that 10% of your money. They're going to fold up. Fold up. Go away. You have nothing to say anyway. Nobody wants to hear you're begging. Everybody is going through something. Everybody. People are hurting. And you're begging for money, and you're still robbing people. They're not robbing God because they don't give their 10%. You're the one that's robbing people. It's like, go away already and quit your begging. I couldn't believe it. I was listening to Rod Parsley this morning before I was getting some clips. And, oh, he was crying. He lives in a $1 million home. I know. I'm not just saying that. I know the home's worth over $1 million. And he has plenty of money. Why doesn't he dip into his 401k? Or where's it? You don't have any savings over there at that church? You have thousands of people come in there all the time, and you're always begging for money on TV. You have every kind of scam going. And he's practically crying. You can go on YouTube and see this pitiful performance by the so-called man of God. If you go to Rod Parsley on YouTube, Sunday, March 22nd, I tried to get the audio, but it didn't come on. If I can play it for you, I'll try, but it didn't seem to record properly. But it's about minute 57 when he starts his pitiful plea for money. He's practically crying, saying, "We don't know what we're going to do. We're not having any services, and the school's closed down." It's a good thing that Bible school's closed down, because what are you teaching those people over there? You're teaching them how to be a scam artist, how to go into the ministry and scam people out of 10% of their income, and then their seed faith offerings, their Passover offerings, and their Day of Atonement offerings. And why isn't it working for you, Rod? Why are you crying and begging for money when you're the one that's up there every week or every day on television begging, telling people that if they sow, then they're going to be blessed? And yet you're not blessed. Or so you say. So why don't you dip into that little savings account that you have? Oh, he says, "I told them they didn't have to give me my salary for a month." You shouldn't even have a salary. You're supposed to be living by faith. That's what you preach over there. Don't you preach that over there? That you got to trust God. Well, I don't see you trusting God. A pitiful performance. This is a pitiful performance. You have to see it. Because even if I played the audio for you, just go to YouTube and put in Rod Parsley, and then you click on videos, and you'll see Sunday, March 22nd, 2020, and it's about minute 57, where he starts his begging, and then, oh, the tears, like, shut him off. Just don't listen to this man, except if you're investigating him and trying to show what a phony he is. Don't listen to him. He's got nothing to say. In these days that we're living in, and we are in the last days, it's time to separate the good people from the evil people. And the evil people are these preachers, or they call themselves preachers of the gospel, but all they preach is the gospel so that they can get something for themselves. They're not really interested in you. And if they were really interested in you, they would say, "This is the year of Jubilee." They're always talking about the year of Jubilee. So why don't they say, "This is the year of the tithing Jubilee. We're going to release you from paying your tithes and sowing your offerings. And we're going to give to you for a change." That's what the storehouse, you claim that your church is a storehouse, but there's nothing stored there. What's stored there? There's nothing stored there. You're not helping anybody. Who are you helping? She's crying over there. "Oh, I don't know what we're going to do." Why don't you sow a seed? Then maybe you'll know what to do, right? Oh, stop it already. Anyway, number one for all of us to remember is, if your favorite preacher or your pastor is a beggar and he can't stop begging, and he's telling you to sow seeds to get God to answer your prayer, and he's telling you to sow 10% of your gross income to get God to answer your prayer, don't listen to him anymore. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't have a clue. If he can't trust God, Now, it's okay to take up an offering if they want to take up an offering for their church and tell the people the truth that the offering is being taken up to pay the expenses of the church and to pay the salaries. Don't tell them and make it super spiritual that we're giving it to God and God doesn't need any money. So you're not giving any money to God. You're giving it to other people to be a blessing to other people. That's what giving is. It's not about you. It's not about you giving so you get something. That's not Christianity. That's not Christianity. That's selfishness. And so we reject that gospel. And that's what we're going to preach until Jesus comes. We don't know how long. Look, the internet could shut down. They were already saying the past few weeks that because the internet has been so busy, because people are home and they're not working, that the internet is slowing down and you could lose the internet. So what happens? What happens then if these people, they lose their bodies in the church on Sunday and they lose their internet connection? What are they going to do? Maybe they'll go away or maybe they'll get saved. Maybe they'll repent and get saved. When all they do is trust in uncertain riches, and when it comes time to helping people, and to say to people, instead of begging, why don't you take out a line of credit on that $1 million home you have and say to people, we're going to help you for a change instead of you helping me. I have enough. I don't know. I'm telling you, it was pitiful. This was one of the most pitiful acting Academy Award performances I think I've seen. Remember, your favorite TV preacher, your favorite pastor, whoever it is, if they're a beggar and if they lie to you about God and tell you that God said that you're supposed to give this amount of money or else God won't hear your prayers and God will put a curse on you, don't listen to that person and run for your life away from that person. Because now more than ever, we have to trust God for our daily bread and for our needs to be met. It's a good thing to learn how to do that now. Because for everybody, get out of debt. Get out of debt. Don't buy things you can't afford. Because you see what can happen to people if they miss one paycheck or two paychecks? They don't know what they're going to do. But of course, okay, they passed the stimulus package, but it was like a friend of mine was telling me yesterday that when you think about Michael Bloomberg spending $500 million on a failed presidential campaign, well, he claims to have, I don't know, $16 billion or $60 billion worth of a fortune. Now, I can't tell Michael Bloomberg what to do with his money. That's his own business because he can do what he wants. This is only as a reference point. Okay, so he spends $500 million on a failed presidential campaign. And my friend was saying, well, he could have given every American $1 million, which is true. Which is true. So there's people out there that have billions upon billions of dollars. And it would be nice if some of them have been stepping up to try to help people in this day, because it's nobody's fault right now that they lost their job. It's not their fault. This coronavirus and this panic that people are going through, it's nobody's fault. This is a dress rehearsal, really, for the whole book of Revelation, for the great tribulation, for the coming of the Antichrist. And that these preachers that lie to you about God and they tell you God said, that's Antichrist. It's Antichrist, because Jesus himself. And if anybody wants to argue with you, it's not worth arguing over, but you can simply say to them, when Jesus Christ walked the earth, did he ever tell anybody ever that put some money in my hand and I'll put some money in your hand? Did Jesus ever say that? No. Did Jesus ever say, give me 10% of your gross income, otherwise I will curse you? Did Jesus Christ ever say anything like that when he walked the earth? No. Did Jesus Christ ever say, give me a Passover offering of money? Give me a Day of Atonement offering for money, of money. Give me a first fruits offering of money. Did Jesus ever say anything like that? Never. So if Jesus never said it, I don't care what scripture they quote, they take out of context. It's not true. That's what we base our life on, is the life of Christ. What did he do when he saw a need? Did he charge people for it? Did he say, you can obtain my protection plan with a $1,000 seed? Oh, like Paula White and Steve Muncy want to tell you. Paul is there. Paula White trying to act like Mother Teresa there, holding a box of food, pretending that she cares about people, and she's feeding people. In the first place, I don't think, now I'm not 100% sure about this, but they have a food giveaway program. But the churches that give away the food, a friend of mine, their church in New York has, it's not his church, but a church in his city, they have a food program where these ministries or these nonprofit organizations, they will truck the food to you, and they need someone to distribute the food. So they'll drop off a whole semi-truckload of food, and you have to store it there, and then you are the distribution center. So Paula White says that she's working with an organization called Second Harvest. Now, they're a food district. They have the food. So I'm pretty sure that she is not buying the food, even though she makes it sound like we're feeding all these people. Well, I'm not 100% sure that she's buying the food and she's feeding 30,000 pounds. I'm pretty sure that probably Second Harvest is delivering the food to her and their distribution center. But there's Paula, I think, trying to act like Mother Teresa, like she cares about people. Then on television, there she is with Steve Muncy telling people that they have to give a Passover offering. Otherwise, God will not give you an angel to protect you. God will remove his protection from you. If you give your Passover offering to Paula White, you get God's protection plan. Yeah. From Paula White's website. Passover begins April 8th through the 16th. April 8th is your divine appointment for the release of 7 supernatural blessings for your household. Yeah, you gotta hand over, you gotta give Jesus some cash, otherwise you don't get these supernatural blessings. No, you won't get them. Here's what she says. Don't appear before the Lord empty-handed. Don't appear before the Lord empty-handed, she says. So I want to know, did Jesus Christ of Nazareth, during the 3 years of his public ministry, ever stand in a place and hold out his hand, or was he holding a bucket or what, and saying, come on up here now, give me your Passover offering in my hand, because don't come before me empty-handed. That's what a liar. Paula White, you are a liar. You are a liar. And she says there's seven blessings of the Passover by obeying the two acts of sacrifice. God commanded his people that first Passover and commands us to do forever. Yeah, commands us to do forever. I guess Jesus forgot it. Maybe Jesus didn't know about the Passover offering since he was the Passover offering. Such a biblical moron, if there ever was one. God help us. That's Paula. So here's Paula now. The Mother Teresa there handing out the food, and then on the other hand, scamming people on television. These are the three of her scam offerings that she wants for $40 or more during this time of the corona pandemic when people are suffering, and it's time for her to open up her bank account. Maybe she should take a loan on her Lamborghini. For $40, you get her tape series, her teaching with her husband, and Steve Munsey's book on the Passover. Don't waste your money, because there's not a bit of truth. There's not a bit of truth. Maybe when she quotes a scripture, but as far as her explaining what the scripture means, forget about it. She makes up her own things about what the word of God means, as long as it puts money in her bank account. Don't waste your time on listening to her DVDs. She needs to get saved. $120 or more. For $120 or more, you get a beautiful communion set. You get a communion set. And she wants you to drink. Now, who drinks out of a wood cup is what I want to know. I don't know anybody that would drink out of a wood cup. Wood cups are fine for decoration, but nobody should be drinking out of a wood cup because whatever is in the wood is going to leach into your drink. So I don't know too many people that drink out of wood cups. Keep your wooden cups to yourself, Paula, because she gives you this wooden cup with grape juice, and she wants you to put the grape juice into the cup, and then she wants you to drink it. I don't think so. Keep your wood cups to yourself. And that's for $120. For $1,000, she will give you a tapestry that's worth probably about $10. It's an exquisite custom wool weave tapestry that she will give you. And that's for $1,000 or more. $1,000 or more, yes. $1,000. So if Paula was so interested in this Passover offering, she shouldn't be I thought she said you're supposed to be giving it to God. It's funny that you have to send it to Paula White Ministries, right? And here's how you can give your Passover offering. You can text to give. You can call the customer service number, or you can use your credit card to give God some money. I wonder how he gets it. I wonder if her God, because not our God, I wonder if her God has a credit card. Probably. Probably. But she's pitiful. Pitiful. Anyway, Paula, get saved, please. I'm going to play some of these audios, but first I want to play this audio because here's the theme of our program today is good versus evil and the givers and the takers. Okay, so here we have a man, a football player, a quarterback, Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints. Here we have a man. He doesn't preach the gospel. He's not saying, I'm a anointed man of God and look at me. No, no, none of that. Here's Drew Brees.
To be joined by our pal, Drew Brees. Drew, it's nice to see your face this morning. How are you? Well, it's good to see you. Hopefully we have a good connection. I mean, I was heartbroken just watching Blaine's piece about what's going on in New Orleans. There's such a need. They need hospital equipment. They need all kinds of stuff. And all of a sudden on my Twitter feed yesterday, I looked and it said $5 million in Drew Brees. And I said, oh, he came through again. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, just like you said, there are so many people in need right now. And obviously the state of Louisiana thrives on small businesses, and it's we're a hospitality state, and so many people have been affected by this around the country, but especially in New Orleans. And so when Brittany and I think about one of New Orleans just or people's greatest or just basic needs, that is to make sure that they and their family are fed and that they can continue to sustain. And so that was where we wanted to start, and obviously there's a lot more work that's going to need to be done, and we'll evaluate that as we go along, but certainly we want to help.
I mean, I think, Drew, a lot of people don't know the need for food in New Orleans. I mean, the numbers have always been staggering to me, but 1 in 6 Louisiana households struggle to put food on the table. 1 in 4 seniors are hungry. 1 in 4 children. I mean, if there ever was a need, this is it. You came to New Orleans post-Katrina, and back then, I thought that was the worst thing that could have happened to our state. How do you think this compares to in your mind?
Well, this is a devastating thing for a lot of people, but especially for the state of Louisiana. Like I said, so many people are involved in the hospitality and restaurant industry, and involved in a small business in some way or another. And so, obviously, those have been some of the ones that are most hardest hit. And even with the stimulus package that will hopefully get passed today, that's probably going to take a while before people start to see the benefits of that. And so, you know, how do they sustain? How do they survive? And that's where we all have to come together and help one another and make sure that we get through this together.
You know, you're not the mayor of New Orleans, but you're pretty daggone close. So if you were saying something to the folks of New Orleans who are probably watching you this morning, what would you say to them?
I'd say hang in there and maintain hope. And obviously we've been through a lot of tough times together, you know, whether it's hurricanes, oil spills, floods, and this is just another one of those bits of adversity that we're going to come out better on the other side. But we've got to stick together right now, and obviously it may get a little bit worse before it gets better, but at the end of the day, we'll become better because of it.
Can we talk football for just a second? Your coach,
sure,
and your friend, Sean Payton, was diagnosed with the coronavirus. How's he doing? Have you spoken to him?
I did. I did speak with him right when he was diagnosed, and then actually a few days ago when he got cleared. So he's maintaining good spirits. He's an extremely positive attitude. I think he also recognizes you know, just the danger in this, and I know that he's encouraged everyone to, you know, follow the orders and the guidelines that have been put in place, and, you know, don't put yourself or your family in any type of risk, and let's get over the hump with this thing and move on to bigger and better times.
You think we'll have a season, a football season? What do you think?
Well, if I was speaking for the American people,
yeah,
I would say that, you know, one of the toughest things about this, honestly, is that typically, you know, sports go through tough situations, right? It's something that people can look forward to. It brings them hope. It brings them together. And yet, right now, you can't even turn on the TV and tune into any type of sport,
mm-hmm,
right? That's what's unprecedented about this as well. So I think the American people would say, yes, we want football back as soon as possible so that we can start gathering together and, you know, have something to look forward to.
Now, I know you got a lot of fans, but I was struck by something I saw on Twitter from KHOU in Houston. They posted this: okay, Houston, you have permission to root for a Saints player just this one time. Thank you, Drew.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
I am a Texas boy, so I do still have my Texas roots from Austin.
Yeah. Well, just lastly, how are Brittany? You got 4 kids under 11. You guys are in San Diego for now. I know your heart's in New Orleans, but how are you all handling being together like this?
You know, it's the new normal for a lot of families, right? We were all thrust into this situation where all of a sudden we're getting lesson plans, and it's like we're going back to elementary school trying to figure out how to teach our kids. I mean, I can't tell you how much time I spent with my fifth-grade son yesterday on his math, like thinking to myself, if I had to take this test right now, I would be in trouble. So it has its frustrating moments. I think every parent would agree with me, and yet I think if there is one positive from this at this point is that so many families are kind of being thrust together,
mm-hmm.
and maybe through what is normally a crazy, hectic life where you're going all kinds of different directions, especially, you know, parents with kids involved in tons mm-hmm. of activities, all of a sudden now you're just together all the time and reconnecting. And I hope that this is something that when we come out of this, we say, you know what, it really brought families together.
I think you're right. I also think a lot of things are contagious, including generosity. So our hope is that because, you know, you let us know that you made this big, generous donation, I think other people look and say, hey, maybe I can help out too. Drew, we love you.
Now, there you go. He gave $5 million of his own money to help the people of his state. And these preachers, so-called men and women of God that they like to brand themselves apostle and prophet, what are they doing except begging? Begging. Oh, it's so despicable. But that's the thing. If people can't see through these people now, to see if they really do care about people, what are they in the ministry for? They're supposed to be ministering to people, not begging for offerings when people are hurting. People are dying. Here's some of the headlines from today from the Drudge Report. Every 10 minutes, somebody's dying of coronavirus. Does coronavirus discriminate? No. Did the Prince of Monaco get the coronavirus? Did Prince Charles of England get the coronavirus? Did the Prime Minister of England get the coronavirus? Yes. It doesn't matter, rich or poor. Nobody escapes the end times. Nobody. Preachers, they can't decree and declare it away. They can't pray it away. Because what the Bible has prophesied will come to pass. I don't think that many of us would have believed that we would be living in this day, because in my lifetime, I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen anything like this. And it should be a wake-up call for all of us. Don't play around with God. God is a God of love. But just like the book of Revelation says, He will pour out his wrath. He's going to pour out his wrath too. It's nothing to play around with. It's nothing to play around with. This is the time for us to draw closer to the Lord and to spend time in his word. And to see how we could be a blessing to others. This is the time for the church to shine. The real church. The real church. Not these phony so-called churches. Because basically, these so-called churches are pastored by shepherds who are wolves. And they don't care. They really don't care about the sheep. Because if a church really cared about the sheep and they practiced what they preach, especially about having a storehouse there, well, there would be stuff that was stored, like food, like money. So when people had a need, it would be there. But for most of these places, there's nothing there, or so they say there's nothing there. But a lot of them have their buildings paid for, so their buildings are debt-free. So if they really needed money, they could borrow money on their equity. But they don't want to do that. No, they want your money. It's really a sad state of affairs. And but this is really the time to stay in the Word of God and find out what God's Word says, so we can get through these tough times, because these are some tough times that we're in. And God help us. God help us. Anyway, let me play this portion of Revelation chapter 18.
Another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver, and precious stones, and of pearls, and fine linen, and purple, and silk, and scarlet, and all fine wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster, and all the company in ships, and sailors, and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads, and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in one hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians, and of pipers and trumpeters, shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth.
It's a very sobering Revelation 18. And we can see so much of that in the days that we're in now. And God will not be mocked. The sorceries that these despicable people who call themselves ministers can take advantage of people. Never mind that they've been taking advantage of people before this pandemic hit. But to take advantage of people now, it's so despicable. It's so despicable. And the main thing that we can do is turn these people off and warn your friends to turn them off and not to send them any money. Don't support them anymore, because if you don't support them, they'll go away. And they won't bother people anymore. Maybe they'll go and get an honest job and earn an honest day's work, except for blaspheming God and lying to people about Jesus. You can't get any more despicable than that, is to lie to people about Jesus Christ. It's really awful. So we're not going to be fooled. And some of these preachers, they refuse to close down their churches, and they're putting people at risk. They think, oh, we have the blood of Jesus, so we're protected. You're not protected. You're protected up to a point, but you can't be stupid. You can't be stupid. I don't see these people, I don't see them having coronavirus healing crusades. I don't see one coronavirus healing crusade being scheduled. I don't see anybody holding one in person. Oh, they're holding these prayer meetings and like the Bethel Church, where they have these healing rooms where people used to come to get healed, which they've closed down because they won't let people come with coronavirus. Well, now they're having their services online. So these people that refuse to close down their churches, and they're allowing people to come in to expose them to a coronavirus, a possible exposure to coronavirus, and then they want to tell you that you're protected. So then why aren't you holding crusades and inviting the public? And why aren't you inviting everyone that has coronavirus to come and let you lay hands on them? You won't do it. You won't do it. And then you're going to tell people to come over to your building and possibly expose them to a pandemic, just so you can say, no, we're people of faith, and we're protected. Now, well, God's not going to protect you from stupidity. He's not going to protect you from stupidity. So stay away from these people. They don't have your best interest at heart. And if they want to tell you, you can come on over here to this building, then ask them, when are you scheduling a live and in-person coronavirus healing crusade where you're actually going to be laying hands on everybody that has coronavirus? You won't do it. They won't do it. They won't do it. I guarantee you they won't do it. Anyway, let's listen to Bethel. Yeah, let's listen to this Bethel now. For people that aren't familiar with Bethel, they're big on word of faith, name it and claim it, decreeing and declaring. And if you get sick, it's because you said something. Okay, how stupid is that? Do you think that people were sitting around confessing bring on the coronavirus? Who was confessing that they wanted coronavirus? Nobody even knew what it was. Do you think that people were saying it, and because they said it, it came to pass? Oh, that's so stupid.
Now, many of you know we do healing rooms every Saturday here. Our entire campus turned into this place where hundreds of people come in to contend for their miracle, and we have hundreds of our team here that are praying for people. Well, as you know, we can't gather anymore, so we've actually been upgraded, and we have really good news for you. We actually took healing rooms online every day of the week. And so if you go to Bethel.com/healing, there's actually a Google Doc there that you can sign up, and our team will be meeting you online. It's Monday through Sunday, 7 days a week. We're actually pretty excited about this. Our teams have been working hard to get this all organized. So if you want to get prayer for healing, have someone to pray with you, go ahead and just go there, sign up, and our team would love to pray with you. And obviously right now is a crucial time specifically for miracles related to this virus. So if there's anyone that you know that it had this situation with this virus, have them come sign up or sign them up, and our team would love to spend some time and pray with you for this miracle. We're going to transition into taking our offering this morning. And, you know, we believe generosity is one of life's greatest privileges and responsibilities. We also believe it's the posture of the heart. It's not just based on circumstances. It's something that we are generous with our time, our resources, and our money. And so we have on the screen here, you're going to see there's a couple of different options to give. You can do text to give, or you can go online to our website, and you can have an account there to set up. For those of you that normally do checks or cash, for checks, you can mail that into the office here. Just make sure your name and address is on there. If you normally do cash, check your inbox this week. We'll be sending you an email with some instructions related to that specifically. We got a few more things we got to button up on that. And now we're going to read offering reading number 4. For those of you that have never done this with us, we have different offering reading that we've created over the years. Some are 30, 40 years old, and others of them are like just a couple years old. This is one of our favorites. We call this our children's offering reading because our kids ministry wrote this. So let's read this together. It's on your screen. If you're in your home, in your car, just read out loud. Even if you're by yourself, read with me, and let's do this together. I am powerful, and what I believe changes the world. So today I declare God is in a good move. He loves me all the time. Nothing can separate me from his love. Jesus' blood paid for everything. I will tell nations of what he has done. I am important, and how he made me is amazing. I was designed for worship. My mouth establishes praise to silence the enemy. Everywhere I go becomes a perfect health zone, and with God, nothing is impossible. I want to highlight two lines in there. It said, my mouth establishes praise to silence the enemy, and everywhere I go becomes a perfect health zone. I wanted to encourage you, declare that over yourself, over your home, over your city. And we are believing the Lord to bring massive breakthrough all over the planet where there's health zones everywhere. And where virus had been touched, that it will become a health zone. So let's pray together as we give. Father, we thank you that this isn't just based on circumstances that we are generous, but it's the posture of the heart. It's a faucet that is always on. And I pray right now, as many nations and many of us are impacted deeply by the radical change to what's happening around the world economically with our work. And I pray there be an incredible provision, creative solution to the problem that we face right now in our finances. And I pray for the offering that is given right now, the text to give, the checks, the cash, all the different options. I pray that this would be seed sown into creating a bright future for what you have in mind for the church and for humanity. So we bless this offering and we bless the giver. And everybody said, amen.
It's pitiful, isn't it? Pitiful. Instead of saying, what can we do for you? How can we help you? There they are begging for money. And then they say, oh, we're praying that there'll be health zones. As if you can establish some kind of a health zone. If you really believe that, you wouldn't have closed down your healing rooms because you would have made them health zones, which you didn't do. So you don't practice what you're preaching either. It's like stay away from Bethel because it's a bunch of con artists. And here's the so-called Brian Carn. Brian Carn, now, during the pandemic here where people are suffering, he wants you to send him $30.
Okay, go look up my schedule on my website, on Instagram, on Facebook, whatever it is. Just look it up. I love you. I'm praying for you. Ask 20 people. Somebody texting you saying they are me. Well, I'm telling you they're lying, and I'm not asking you for no money. This isn't no orphanage. And I ask God to strengthen your discernment so these people can't bamboozle you. Amen. I love you and I'm praying for you. You know I ain't got time to be sitting up texting you, whoever that person is. And I don't mean that in a rude way, but I don't have time to be sitting up texting you. The devil is a liar. Come on, you should know that's the devil tricking. So come on, y'all. Come on. Mother Shaw says, come on, catch the wisdom. Our discernment got to come up, church. Come on, catch the wisdom. Let's let our discernment come up. You know, some of y'all want me to message you so bad, you get stuck. Come on, catch the wisdom. Right, you know better than that. I'm not doing that. This is not something that I'm doing. I love you. Pray for me. I will be in Dallas the 9th and the 10th. That's April. But I'll be in Albany, Georgia this month. So go to the website, look it up. I'm praying for you. And again, I want 20 people to sow a seed right now of $33. Send it to my Cash App. $, Mr. Lewis, say not cents, but $, PBCJR. Amen. I'm praying for you. Let me go to the website, briancarn.com, and sow it. If I was you, I would get in on this and register for the meeting in Dallas. Also, I have a convocation coming up that's going to be the 27th of July to August the 2nd. Remember, I used to have a big visitation meeting? Well, the 27th of July to August the 2nd will be.
Yeah. He's wanting you to send him. He's saying there's 30 people, send him $20. Oh, he's pitiful. Pitiful. Don't support Brian Carn. Maybe he'll go away. 20 people, send him $30. Here's another stupid statement by Brian Carn.
You have from God. You have nothing to be worried about. Some of you right now are scared. I see people walking around with masks, nutcases, walking around with masks, walking around saying that, you know, trying to hide and run from this stuff. You know, y'all, we got to believe God, all right? We just got to believe God and trust him and take him at his word and know that he is not a man that he should lie. We have no need to fear. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So there's a confidence that we can have. We don't have to worry about nothing. We don't have to walk around with masks on. We don't have to stay in our house and be concerned that the virus isn't going to get us. The virus won't get you. How do I know that? Because you are untouchable. You have the blessing on your life. That's what Pastor Winston called it, the blessing. And that's what you got on your life. You got to believe that. I told somebody the other day, they had the virus, and they didn't want to hug me. Not the coronavirus, they had the flu. And they said, I don't want to hug you. I said, well, you can hug me. It won't affect me. I have a promise from the Lord that says, no evil shall befall thee, and no plague shall come nigh my dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over me. You can hug me, you can touch me. I'm not affected by it. All right? So that's the way you got to think. I believe that's Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinketh, so is he. Think you are blessed. Think you are healed. Think you are delivered. And think nothing can touch you. Amen to that. All right? But here's the second thing that I also want to let you know, that I've been released by the Holy Ghost to go ahead and begin to do meetings all over this country. God spoke to me, of course, I'm pastoring and I'm building a church here in Charlotte, and I'm telling you, I did not know It costs so much money to build a church. My God, we just got a $97,000 electric bill that we're going to have to pay as a result of the church, you know, the renovation. That's the electricity is $97,000 for that part. And, of course, we're not going to the banks. We're not asking anybody for no money. We believe that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and it addeth no sorrow. So we're not going to the banks and going to get a loan. We're trusting God every step of the way, week by week, knowing that He is going to provide everything that we need. Because if God told us to do it, He's going to provide everything that we need. Amen to that. So we're trusting God.
Yeah, He's trusting God. That's why He's telling everybody He needs $97,000. One signal that somebody's lying on God, when you hear them say, "We're trusting God, we're not going to ask anybody for anything, but we need $97,000 to..." That is not trusting God. Trusting God is when you need $97,000 and you don't tell anybody. And you tell God, "I need $97,000, Lord." You think God doesn't know you need $97,000? You think God can't speak to people that you need $97,000? Do you think God can't show you a way to get the $97,000 without lying to people and being a beggar? $97,000 for an electric bill. Building. $97,000. You must be building some kind of a massive building there for $97,000. Electric, just for the electric? I think he's a liar. In fact, I know he's a liar because he just lied on God. He just lied on God when he said the Holy Ghost. He's blaming the Holy Ghost. And he says, "Coronavirus can't touch me. Coronavirus can't touch me." Anyway, here's Paula White, God's woman of faith and power there, or so she says. Here's Paula White begging for money.
I want you to remember to be in covenant with God. Now, tomorrow, right here, we'll stay within our guidelines. We'll stay within our guidelines, but one of our biggest blessings is we are connectors, and we will get a full truck that will vary from 20 to 30,000 pounds of food. Right, Michael? You guys have all helped. Victor, Norm, you've all helped. And we will take people that will be driving through from 8 in the morning till about 6 at night, I think it is. And they will drive through because everybody's drive through, and we've done that for a long time. And we'll only have 10 in that gym, cafeteria, and they'll put the groceries, and it'll be a box of groceries for a family of four to sustain them for 2 weeks. Very important in our county because our county just got a mandatory stay at home at 11 p.m. starting on Thursday night. And so with that, vitally important. Then we'll have people that drive the food to people that cannot get out of their home, that they are there maybe for reasons, they're elderly or they don't drive or they don't have transportation. We have an entire network that is this and busy and highly engaged. So we have been calling people. We've been taking care of people, doing ministry nonstop. But this is a time that you bring His tithe into the storehouse and you give an offering to Him. You say, "How do I do that?" This is how. You go to ndcc.tv. Please do this right now. ndcc.tv. You'll see the donate button, or you can just click on ndcc.tv/give. But if you go right there to the website, you can give via your debit card, credit card, PayPal. We don't want you to get in deep debt, but we do want you to be generous and liberal, knowing that this is the time you stand in covenant. You say, "What do I give?" First off, bring your tithe into the storehouse. It's the first tenth of the gross income. Secondly, we want you to give a generous and a liberal love offering. Maybe that is $5 for someone. Maybe it's $500 for someone else. You give what God speaks to you. You can text to give. You text this number, 321-244-3900. That's 321-244-3900. And you text NDCC. When you do that on your text, it's going to come up and give you all the different ways to give. You can ACH. You can do so many different ways of giving. Mm. Or you can go to paulawhite.org and click on the donate button. It's on the upper right-hand corner of the screen. Or you call 1-800-PAULA-77. That's 1-800-PAULA-77. Or you text Paula White Ministry to 45777.
Oh, dear.
You can also download the Paula White Ministries app, and you can tap on it and give that way. And it also takes you to all the social media and all the different outlets. But NDCC, if this is your local church, you want to be a blessing to City of Destiny, go to ndcc.tv give. You text 321-244-3900 and you text to give. Now, why is that important? A lot of people don't understand Paula White Ministry, NDCC, City of Destiny. What's all this? So Story Life, pastored by Pastor Brad and Rachel, is the local church, and we do many church plants. City of Destiny will ultimately be many church planters. That we're a media ministry through Paula White Media that reaches the world, etc. I help oversee. We do several outreaches, etc. So City of Destiny and Paula White Ministry are one organization. They're separate. They're distinct. They have their different functions, okay? But it's all under one covering, one organization there. And that's really important to understand. Thank you for being a generous and a liberal giver. Now let's get into prayer. Thank you so much. Make sure that you bring His tithe and your offering. Let's pray, guys.
Yeah, the problem is it's not His tithe. It's your tithe. It's not His tithe. This lady needs to go and have some English lessons, because she says, make sure you press the button. I didn't know there was such a word as button. And et cetera. What is she talking about? I don't know. It's like, please, go get some elocution lessons. Don't forget now, Paula White claims that her building there is debt-free, which it was debt-free when she got it, because when Zach Timms had it before he died, the mortgage was paid for. So somehow, I don't know how Paula got in on the deal there, but it was some kind of a shady thing that happened, according to Zachary Timms' best friend, Pastor Chuck Monica, who I have a letter that he wrote in protest to Paula White taking that church, which he didn't give any consideration to Zach's ex-wife and his four children when she took over the church there, which was really owned by Zach. But anyway, how she ever got her hands on it, I don't know. But I think the open letter might still be on the internet that Pastor Chick Monica wrote. Excuse me if I'm mispronouncing your name, which I probably am. But anyway, he was Zachary Timms' best friend, so he calls Paula White a liar and a thief, basically, in how she took over that place. But anyway, the place was debt-free when she took it over. But she likes to brag now that it's debt-free, like she had something to do with it. So if the place is debt-free and it's worth $5 million, do you think you could pony up some money over there besides begging people to give at a time when they don't have money to give? So, some of the people there at your church, this might be a good time for them to run from their life from that place and get out of there. When they realize that they're not really being cared for over there at the storehouse, because there's nothing in the storehouse. The storehouse is empty, according to Paula, and you have to keep giving money so that they can do things for people. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing for anybody? What are you really doing except collecting offerings to pay your salary and to pay your son's salary? I'm sure you're all still getting big salaries over there. But anyway, like I said, it might be a good time for some of you people to run for your life from these people. Now, here's Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland, the man with a heart.
The virus is faith in its ability to hurt you or kill you. the fear of, what are we going to do? I'm getting laid off at work. Hey, your job's not your source. If it is, you're in trouble. Jesus is your source. Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Yeah, well, if Jesus is your source, then why are you collecting tithes? Why don't you practice what you preach over there? Let's listen to Revelation chapter 20.
Chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Well, that's Revelation chapter 20. Well, dear saints of God, whatever we have to go through, we just have to trust God. What can we do? There's another disturbing fact about this pandemic is that they're releasing people from jails because they can't hold them, or they say they don't want to hold them because of the possible outbreak. So they're releasing criminals to the public. And there's so many police departments that are getting hit with this thing. You have to remember, the police officers are out there with the public. There's nothing they can do. They have to do it. That's their job. And they're being hit by this virus. So you can expect more crime, which it really is a dastardly thing for people to do, is to take advantage of people while they're going through these situations. But we're going to see that. I guess we're going to see more and more cases until this thing peaks. But it's an interesting time we're living in. So draw close to the Lord and stay strong. What can we do? We just have to trust God while we're going through this thing. It's just a very, very strange time that we're living in, but I think it's a sobering time. I think it's a time for many Christians to wake up, and hopefully some people will start leaving these institutions that they call churches, but they're not safe places for people. These pastors, and they call themselves shepherds, but they really don't have any love for God's people. If they would take advantage of God's people at a time like this, it's just terrible, terrible behavior. And it should be a warning that we can't participate in, this is not the time to participate in a false gospel. We need to be aware of what's going on, and we need to be aware for ourselves. So that means that we're responsible for reading the Bible and knowing what it says, so that we can't be deceived. These people are going to go on, some of them, they won't repent. They're just going to carry on with their foolishness. And what's it going to take for them to wake up, I wonder? But some of them are so far gone that really God's turned them over to a reprobate mind, because they sound like reprobates. They sound like reprobates. Anybody that could lie about the Savior, that Jesus Christ came down from heaven, he came to the earth, and he was born of a virgin, and he lived and walked on the earth for 33 years. He died on a cross, which he didn't have to do, but he did it. He died on a cross, a painful death for our sins and for our redemption. He rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven in a body. So Jesus is alive. He's a real person. And we are responsible for telling the truth about who Jesus is and what he can do for people. He can give people a brand new life, no matter what they're going through right now. Jesus Christ can save them, from their sins. He can give them peace in the midst of a storm. That's the way we get through things as Christians, is we have the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that we know whether we live or die, we know where we're going. We're not afraid of death. Nobody wants to die, and it's especially hard on the people that you leave behind. But we know where we're going. We know we're going to heaven, so we're not afraid. But people that don't know God, of course they're afraid. They're deathly afraid about what's going to happen to them. But this is a time where you can be witnessing to your neighbors, and they might not understand why this is all happening, but it is prophesied that these things will happen, and that's the day we're living in. So we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We really do. It's a very, very sobering time, and it's a time for us to examine ourselves, to take stock of the things that we believe, and to get stronger in the things of God, and to spend more time in the Word of God, so that we can understand the times that we're living in. Because you can't pray this thing away. You can't pray away the end times. You can't decree and declare and make faith confessions. The book of Revelation is going to come to pass. And so we have to prepare ourselves for it. We see now how helpless most people are to try to control this situation. You can't control this thing. And it's affected every person that lives in this country in one way or another. It's affected all of us. So let's show people what real Christianity is, that it's not some of these people that they see on television or they see on the internet. That's really not Christianity. But let them see what Christianity really is by doing something for somebody else, showing the love of God and showing the compassion of God to someone in need. Well, God bless you, everybody. And remember, the most important thing today is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you given your life to Christ and asked him to forgive you of your sins? You say, I don't know what to do. Jesus is the answer. Give your life to Jesus today and you'll never regret it. You will never regret it. He will give you a brand new life and old things will pass away and behold, all things will become new. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Your past can be forgiven and God will give you a new life. So that's the most important thing today, is to make sure your life is right with God. All of us need to examine ourselves and make sure that we're ready and that our hearts are right before God. And that we love our neighbor as ourselves, because Jesus said that's the first and greatest commandment, is to love your neighbor as yourself, to love the Lord your God first and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so let's love God first with all our heart and love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. Well, God bless you today, and thank you, everybody, for tuning in from around the world. I heard from a sister in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, and she listens. Thank you, everybody in all the different countries that listen. And no matter what, we'll be here. We're not going away. As long as there is an internet, we'll have our program, and we'll still be preaching the gospel till Jesus comes. Amen. So God bless you. Bye bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven. Be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city. city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.